This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, welcome in to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you are with us. Joining us here, 6:07 on this Tuesday morning, the 30th day of September. Hard to believe, but it has zipped by. Of course, when you're gone on vacation for 10 days, that happens, right? Month just flies by.
Good to have you back.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. Dan Buck in here alongside me this morning. Ethan Bright on the board. You just heard Sue Thomas with that update on the I-70 mess they've got going on out there. So she'll keep you updated on that throughout the morning. We teased this a little bit last hour, but we've got a big announcement to make right now on this radio station. So you'll be hearing about this for the very first time. And Ethan, go ahead and hit it. We are having a birthday party, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
And you are invited. Woo. Absolutely, a 25th anniversary party for 97.1 FM Talk. You know what that means, Dan? That means we're 25 years old, but we're still on our parents' health insurance. I was just thinking about that the other day. How absurd is that? But this radio station started back in the year 2000. It has gone through some changes over the years, but I mean, I've been here for 15 years, and I was on the air several years before that, filling in on this radio station. So I've been around for nearly 20 of those 25 years on this radio station.
Wow, I filled in some of those early years as well on certain holidays for Jamie Allman when he was here, and several others. So, yeah, it was. It's hard to believe it's 25 years ago.
25 years.
And how groundbreaking it was that somebody in FM, which at the time was just all music, that somebody put a stake in the ground and goes, we're going to make conservative talk happen on FM and give people a good, clean signal for conservative voices. And kudos, 25 years later, still rocking and rolling.
So we're going to have a party to celebrate, and you all are invited. It is coming up on a Thursday, the 23rd of this month, 23rd of October, and we're going to do it out at the District in Chesterfield. Right there by Lit Cigar Lounge. Now, it's pretty cool because if you've ever been out there, there's Lit Cigar Lounge, and then there's a big green area out there where families can run around. There's going to be live music. My friend Richie from Pretty Weeds is going to come out, and he's going to perform. There will be we got a bunch of sponsors for this, so it's
I'm
fantastic.
Hearing cigars because you know Lit will be there, right?
Lit Cigar Lounge is going to sort of be the hub of it, but we're going have tents set up outside and inside. There'll be samples,
bourbon.
There will be, but here's the deal.
Okay,
it's free to attend this, and we encourage all of our listeners to come out and hang out with us. Everybody's going to be out there. In fact, the Reardon Show will be broadcasting live that afternoon from 3 to 6. The broadcast is 3 to 6. The party is actually roughly 5 to 7:30. But there is a VIP opportunity here. If you want to get there early and hang out with all of us, for $30, you can get that includes two drinks, a cigar if you choose that comes along with a cigar cutter. There are going to be appetizers. There are going to be other giveaways that we're going to be doing for the VIP attendees. But you don't have to do that if you don't want to, but you can. And here's what you have to do. Go to 971talk.com/events. And just you can buy the ticket there, or you can RSVP. Now, it's free, but we do need to kind of a head count on who's coming, so we have enough appetizers and all that stuff. So just sign your name up on there, and it's easy. It's that easy. Thanks to our friends, our sponsors, Rhino Shield, my friend Darren out at Rhino Shield, thank you. U.S. Men's Medical Center, my friends over at Lohr Wine and Spirits. And Lohr Wine and Spirits is bringing along our friends from Old Dominic Distillery and Rayburn Wines. They're going to have some whiskey and wine out there for people to sample.
Woo.
When they come out. We're just going to have a great time.
Now, wait a minute. $30, I get two drinks, I get food, I get
a cigar if you choose. Yeah, yeah.
And you get to hang out.
And
a cutter to go with the cigar.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you.
And you get to hang out. So there's lots of outside activities. You can go inside to Lit Cigar Lounge if you choose to. You can just hang out with us. We're going to have live music. We'll have the Reardon Show out there live as well. So please write it down on your calendar. We'd love to see some of you. We talk to you here on the radio all the time. We don't get that much in-person time. So Thursday, October 23rd, out at the District there outside of Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield, just down from the factory. We hope that you can show up and hang out with us. That would
I bet
be
Kim
fantastic.
Can make it too. Kim,
yeah,
even
I think Kim's going to be there.
Good, awesome.
She's still on maternity leave, but I think she's going to show
up. I think parties are still part of maternity leave. Like if you have a party, you still get to come to parties when you're on maternity leave.
You can still make it. Absolutely.
And hopefully she might even bring the baby. Who knows?
Ooh, that's possible.
That'd be awesome.
That is possible. I hope
see that little nugget.
I hope she does that. Annie will be there, obviously, and Mark Reardon and all of us, everybody you hear on the air here will be out there, the entire crew for 97.1.
You had me at Cigars and Bourbon. I'm like, okay, sure, yeah.
But there's a lot more to it than that, and thanks to my friend Richie for bringing the music, and it's going to be fantastic. So we're looking forward
and
to it.
And beautiful right. time of year. It's two days after my birthday. So
oh,
like
is
maybe,
it really?
Yeah, so it'll be like I just, you know, post birthday party.
It's, except you're not
hey,
25
my
anymore.
Age, they should last a month.
I think you're right. I think you're right. All right, we got that coming up for you. We'll keep talking about it. And remember, 971talk.com/events. It's right there on our webpage. And you can RSVP or you can go in there and sign up and buy one of the VIP opportunities to get there a little bit early. All the links are right there on the website.
Everybody on Facebook's going, yes, we're there. We're in.
All right.
This is like everybody's excited.
Cool. All yeah. right. Looking forward to it. I kind of hinted before this was coming up, but we had to finalize a few things before we did that. Let's get to the short list right now, please.
The Mark Cox short list.
Ethan, out of all of that, you caught me unprepared here because I was too busy talking about the upcoming celebration at Lit Cigar Lounge and the 25th anniversary celebration. Here it is.
Is that the talent agencies in Los Angeles, all left-wing, 100%, threatened Disney and Bob Iger and said, if you don't put Kimmel back on the air, a lot of our clients not going to do business with you. That means you're not going to get actors and producers and writers and directors. Take it to another studio. Iger surrendered on the spot.
Yeah. How about that? Bill O'Reilly with why Jimmy Kimmel got back on the air so quickly. They collapsed like a cheap house of hand of cards.
And I got to say, as a capitalist, that's how it should work. No, that's how it should work. If you get pressure and you can't handle the pressure to do what's right because you're afraid of a business decision.
But the power of Hollywood and the left is pretty frightening if that's what happened there.
Yeah.
So this is a big, big day, a beautiful day, potentially one of the great days ever in civilization.
Yeah, he's talking about the potential for Middle East peace deal involving Hamas and Israel. Will it happen? I don't know if that'll happen or not. But you've got now people saying Hamas is being forced to surrender. They haven't replied yet to this. Maybe we'll find out today.
I'm a democratic socialist. I've said that time and again. And I think it reflects the fact that whereas that identity would have been enough for Donald Trump in the past, now he doesn't even want to use that because he knows that the message of my politics is one that is connecting with New Yorkers across the five boroughs. It's a message of dignity.
It's a message of lies.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you anybody want to parse the difference between a socialist and a Democrat socialist? It's just the Democrat Party.
Wake up, white men. What the f*** is wrong with you? But you're too dumb to even realize that because you're lazy and sitting in front of a computer or a phone and you're just eating it up.
Don Lemon.
What's he talking about?
Because lazy white men are the problem with violence in this country. Just so you know.
Really?
They apparently commit most of the murders. You didn't realize that?
Does he not read the FBI crime statistics?
Don Lemon lives in his own world.
Man.
He does not care about facts or any of that. None of that gets in the way of Don Lemon, for
Man.
Sure. Unbelievable.
Yeah, don't let facts get in the way of a good story. Oh my goodness.
All right. We'll get to a quick break here. We got John Lamping coming up at the bottom of the hour. Maybe John's got some insight into why it took so long for IP reform and the new congressional map to get signed by the governor. In fact, I don't think IP reform's been signed yet. Have I missed that?
No, he
I don't
did not.
Think that that bill from the special session has been signed yet. We'll pick John's brain on that a little later. We've got Congressman Mike Bost on here at about 8:08 to talk about the looming government shutdown, the Schumer shutdown that's just around the corner. We'll be right back.
So, Joe, first, this is basically a surrender deal. I watched one of those go down in Beirut after the 1982 Israeli invasion, and Yasser Arafat, then the head of the PLO, was told, get out of Beirut and you can have amnesty, and he did. And he went on to fight other battles, but from an exile location. That may happen here. I think the pressure on Hamas from Palestinians to accept the deal and see an end of this war is going to be considerable.
Yeah, that is David Ignatius, who's a regular on MSDNC. It's a surrender deal. It's a way to go, David. Way to goad Hamas into not taking the deal. What this could be is the sleight of hand of the century. Because here's what you need to understand if you're not paying attention, and I know that is the deal for a whole lot of people out there who maybe glossed this over yesterday as to what a huge deal this is. Let me tell you what Donald Trump has managed to accomplish here. Now, the Abraham Accords were pretty breathtaking in getting Arab countries, in spite of Hamas and the PLO, to agree to open trade with Israel. It was a first. It's the first time it had ever happened. And that's how you generate wealth in that region and with cooperation on the economies. It was, and of course, he was never mentioned in the talk for a Nobel Peace Prize because he's orange man bad, and they're not going to do it. Now, let me read to you the importance of what Donald Trump has accomplished here. So what Donald Trump did is when he was at the United Nations General Assembly, when they turned the elevator off on him, the escalator, and they tried to hijack the teleprompter and all those other mean things they were trying to do to hijack his message, he was working. Donald Trump canvassed for support of this plan of between Arab and Muslim nations on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly meeting in New York. The plan includes key Arab demands, such as the inclusion of the Palestinian Authority and future governance in Gaza. It prevents Israel from annexing Gaza, but does not mention the West Bank. And the Times of Israel reported this. Shortly after this press conference by Trump and Netanyahu, the White House said the foreign ministers of Saudi Arabia, Jordan, the UAE, Indonesia, Pakistan, Turkey, Qatar, and Egypt all issued a joint statement saying they welcomed Trump's effort and pledged to engage with the U.S. to advance the implementation of the Gaza peace plan. He got Arabs and Muslims to sign on to this deal. The only group holding out is Hamas.
Yeah.
Which means, when you hear Donald Trump say what Donald Trump said yesterday, it makes it all the more important, because he pointed out that it's now Hamas's choice. Listen to this.
If they're unable to do so, then Israel would have the absolute right, and actually our full backing, the U.S. full backing, Marco's here, and would have my full backing to finish the job of destroying the threat of Hamas, but I hope that we're going to have a deal for peace.
Yeah, he's given them two options, right? You have a clear path to peace here.
That your fellow Arabs,
yes,
support.
Yeah, including many Muslim nations, too, that you just mentioned. Or you're going to die.
Or right? FAFO. Yeah, that's
exactly.
That's how you end that sentence.
I mean, and anybody who says that Netanyahu and Israel has not tried to work this out peacefully is sadly mistaken. They have tried and tried and tried. And people say you can't negotiate with terrorists. If they don't take this deal, that statement holds true. And Hamas is going to get what they have coming. Or you take the peace route. And you get and now they're not going to be in control. There's no question about it. Netanyahu is not going to agree to a peace deal that leaves Hamas in power, period. right?
But, no. Or it also does not say the words that it wants to create a Palestinian state. Like, it's not, the words two-state solution are not in this deal.
But what did
because
change?
Israel would never agree to that.
What did change is the rebuilding of Gaza will include the Palestinians. That changed, because before he was saying, Palestinians, you're going to have to find somewhere else to go, because if we're going to invest billions into it, we're not going to continue to have the violence in that area. And let's face it, who represents the Hamas government, right? It's the Palestinian people who put them in power, and they serve under, including their armed forces, it's the Palestinian people who have been fighting.
Yeah, but they lost control of that years ago, right?
Well, they lost control of an election, of a fair election process, but they continue. I mean, when you see the bodies going through the streets and hostages, you know, who are dead going through the streets, and the entire Palestinian people show up to cheer and parade.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Is that because they're afraid of Hamas, or they look pretty jubilant.
They've been brainwashed.
So does that brainwashing stop when you go to rebuild and suddenly Palestine's going to be peaceful?
Did you read the fine print? Trump included in there right at the end? He's changing the name to Gaza Lago. I didn't know if you saw that or not.
I did not see
I'm
that.
Kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, coming up, we'll get to former Senator John Lamping. We'll talk more about the IP reform bill that, to the best of my knowledge, has not been signed by the governor yet. I don't know why. So we'll talk to John when we come back.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
People keep looking at government for the answer, and government's the problem. Government would shut the doors and sneak away for about 3 weeks. We'd never miss them.
Stop thinking about what I want, what he wants, what your parents want. What do you want?
Freedom!
All right, we've got John Lamping on the line with us this morning, former Missouri senator. And John, let me be among the very first to invite you to our 25th anniversary party coming up on October 23rd out at the District and Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
That sounds great. I was thinking when I heard the announcement, and you'd mentioned that you'd been on the show for 15 years on the radio station, for 15 years. I think the first time you and I spoke on the radio was on a Halloween night. I think you were doing Sunday shows at that time.
I was, yes.
And it was Halloween was on a Sunday, and I think it was in I was campaigning back in 2011, or maybe it was in 2010 or 2011. So it's amazing how fast time goes by.
It's been a long time. I'm just doing the math this morning, so I know my voice has been on the air here for 20 of those 25 years, and I started my own show 15 years ago. So it's been an honor and thrilled that we're celebrating 25 years. Hope you can make it on the 23rd.
Oh, for sure.
Excellent. Glad to hear it, John.
Awesome.
We'll look forward to seeing you out there. You know, Dan Buck and I were just talking about this earlier this week when the governor finally got around to signing the bill on the congressional maps. What do you think the delay was? What played into not just doing that immediately? Was he out of town and I just didn't know it?
Governor's not really excited about the 7-1 map. You know, he signed it in private. There wasn't a press conference. There wasn't any, you know, somebody's telling him it's important that there's no photos that somebody can use it against him in some other campaign or something. You know, that people have to remember that Mike was the lieutenant governor when the right wing of the Republican Party in Missouri pushed very hard for a 7-1 map. And Mike was right in the middle of everything. And he was not for a 7-1 map at the time. And, you know, if not for President Trump pushing that issue, Missouri would still be a 6-2 map. And so, you know, we talked often on the show about how Trump asking for that map was a real gift to Kehoe. Kehoe doesn't want it, but now he gets credit for having gotten it through. And if it fails, he can say, hey, you know, I tried, but the people of Missouri have spoke, or the courts have spoke, or whatever. This is who Mike is. And then the initiative petition reform remains unsigned. And what you need to understand is if there's an economy for political dollars spent in Missouri, that economy includes a very big portion of it is initiative petitions.
Mm-hmm.
The political consultants make a ton of money on initiative petitions. And with that, you know, if I'm a political consultant and I'm getting paid millions of dollars to run a campaign for some issue, that allows me to redirect some of those millions of dollars to political campaigns, for sure, political campaigns. So Mike is also a very big fan of the political economy, and those in the economy are not a big fans of initiative petition reform. So, you know, I don't think we're going to get a really enthusiastic administration on either of these two issues. Now, you did see where Mike's wife is going to be the chair for the Right to Life ballot initiative. And that's good news. But I think on these two issues, I don't think he's that excited about it. That's why they were so slow to sign.
Now, has he signed IP reform? I didn't think he signed it yet.
No, he hasn't.
No, right?
No, he has not.
No.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. He's slow to sign the one slow walking this one. Now, there's some thought we talked about before how maybe there's some kind of legal angle wherein the other side are collecting they're collecting signatures now. For them to go up against it, and maybe the signatures would prove to be invalid since it hasn't been signed yet. But I just don't think he's really excited about either of these two issues.
John, on a related, unrelated note, coming in December, sports gambling gets legalized. We're already hearing the ad campaigns and the money. The state projecting it's going to be, you know, millions of dollars annually to the state coffers through taxation. I always say if that small percent of revenues made by the casinos comes to millions of dollars, that means that there's other revenues of millions of dollars that leaves the state. Is there an economic impact when those dollars kind of leave your economy and go away to gambling organizations like DraftKings or some of these others? I mean, is there a measurable economic impact when those dollars come out of the economy?
Well, when people push for things like legalized gambling or casinos, probably their best argument is to go along the borders of the state. And when you border a state that allows those things to happen, and they make the point that, hey, these people in Jackson County, Kansas City are just crossing the border. Away from that, you know, the people that live in Missouri, they have a certain amount of money they can spend on entertainment, and they can be entertained at, in Chesterfield Valley at your event on the 23rd, or they can be entertained by going to a casino and spending money, or they can be entertained by going to some gas station and playing some game. But in the end of the day, it doesn't create, there's no multiplier effect. Like,
exactly.
There's not more money that gets spent because we've got legalized gambling here in Missouri. Much like legalized marijuana, if you spend money on marijuana, you don't spend money on something else. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of these vices, and I'd like the idea of not having them and if having them, taxing them heavily. But the taxing them heavily part doesn't really work out because I don't think it really makes a big difference in the end.
Well, and the shell game always happens, right, John? I mean, they always say,
right.
"Oh, it's going to education," but then they just take general revenue funds out of education and move it somewhere else, right?
And same thing for veterans, Veteran Affairs. A lot of taxes are directed there. Yeah, it's part of that political economy I was talking to you about. There's a universe of people that have money to spend for consultants and money to give to contributions. And very often our political agenda is set by the monetary interests of the politically connected.
Yeah, you know, I've said all along, I never really had a issue with sports gambling. I don't participate in it a lot. I'm happy to play in pools and, you know, play the lottery, and I've been in Vegas a few times, and I put some money on my beloved Kentucky Wildcats, and it's never panned out for me, so it's probably a losing proposition. I just didn't like – I said all along I didn't like the way the campaign was run. We're trying to convince people, if you just let us do this, we're gonna ship millions of dollars off to your schools. If they can afford to send $500 million to the schools or however much they promised in their ads – think how much money these companies are going to make off of the backs of Missourians who choose to sports gamble.
Yeah,
just be honest with me. Just don't lie to me about the schools. Just say, we want to make millions of dollars sports gambling. Please pass it.
Yeah, and John, you make the point. This isn't, when it's online gambling and it's done on your phone, that's not a job creator. That's not a tourism destination. That isn't concerts. That isn't, you know, employing hundreds and hundreds of people like a land-based casino would be, right?
Well, the other thing we know, because there's been legalized gambling has been around long enough so it can be studied, is that it's changing the culture of young people.
Yep.
So go ask a bunch of middle school and high school boys whether or not they're gambling on their phone, and the answer is yes, they are, and that's part of a cult. So the impact that that will have on the lives of those young people will be pronounced. You know, all of these things: drinking, smoking, gambling. They all have a certain percentage of people who use them have addictive tendencies. And what we know is that the earlier that they get to it, marijuana before 25, gambling. They're gambling in the middle schools now, the ones that can get around the hack and that can hack around the restrictions. And net, this is a bad thing for society. This will find the people who are most likely to become addicted, and they will get addicted earlier. I mean, heck, the betting firms themselves, what do they have, commercials where they advertise for if you need help, you know, with addiction? Well, of course, that's what we've done. But, you know, that's our society is not very disciplined, and they're very open to these ideas. And we are where we are because of initiative petitions. And we'll just, you know, hope for the best. We'll hope for the best with the governor, too. Hopefully he comes around and recognizes the fact that as much as he doesn't really want to do this, that his party in particular really wants it done. And hopefully gets off the dime and starts working this like he did other things like highway taxes, which is what he's very famous for having worked very hard for.
It's true. John, thank you as always.
Great being with you guys. Take care.
Great insight.
We will talk to you soon. We'll see you on October 23rd for the big 25th anniversary celebration out at the District and Lit Cigar Lounge out in Chesterfield. You can go to the website at 971talk.com/events. You can RSVP for free, but we do have a VIP availability as well. Just to be clear on this, since I mentioned it earlier, the VIP thing includes appetizers and a couple of cocktails and a cigar if you want. And, of course, just mingling with me and Annie and Mark and everybody from 97.1. Just plain RSVP, you can show up. There'll be food available if you want to purchase it. There'll be music, and we're going to have a great time out there. So go to the website and check it out. We're going to be back with In Other News in just a minute.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Man, I got to admit something on the radio this morning. I have always admired J.K. Rowling, but I'm in a little bit of a romance with her right now. After her Twitter post yesterday on Emma Watson. My goodness, this woman not only obviously is an author, she's a great writer, but she took apart Emma Watson piece by piece on Twitter yesterday. So Emma Watson came out and somehow wants to make peace with her now after all these years of blasting her on this trans issue. And she said, and I quote, "Like other people who've never experienced adult life uncushioned by wealth and fame, Emma has so little experience of real life, she's ignorant of how ignorant she is. She'll never need a homeless shelter. She's never going to be placed on a mixed-sex public hospital ward. I'd be astounded if she's been in a high street changing room since childhood. Her public bathroom is single occupancy and comes with a security man standing outside. Has she had to strip in a newly mixed-sex changing room at a swimming pool? Is she ever likely to need a state-run rape crisis center that refuses to guarantee an all-female service? Is she ever going to find herself sharing a prison cell with a male rapist who decided to identify as a woman in prison?" And then she went on to say, "I wasn't a multimillionaire at 14. I lived in poverty. I understand from my own life experience why the trashing of women's rights, in which Emma has so enthusiastically participated, what that means to women and girls without her privilege."
I love it.
Sliced and diced Emma Watson. Hermione Granger can go pound sand.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hey, found this story to be interesting. A brand new Gallup poll reveals that only 54% of U.S. adults say that they drink alcohol. That is an all-time low going back like more than 90 years. That's the lowest it has ever been.
We need an intervention.
I know. I know.
What's going on here?
40% said they even haven't had a drink in a week. Clearly, they didn't talk to me.
They ain't going on vacation with me, I can tell you that. Exactly. I was trying to drain every beer barrel in Europe.
The reasons they give are more health awareness,
generational
changes that include other types of, I guess, enhancements.
Drugs or
what are those one drinks they've got? The PC, what do they call them?
The infusion drinks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They give you a buzz without the alcohol, without the alcohol. And
CBD.
Yeah, it's CBD. That was the word. Yeah. One of those initials. So anyway, those are the main reasons why. So, but 40%, that's shocking.
If you don't drink when you wake up in the morning, that's the best you're going to feel all day.
I know.
What's wrong with people? I'm just kidding.
54%.
Live your life. Do what you want.
That means that only 46% of the population is currently drinking alcohol.
Wow.
Of adults.
Rest of them are stoned, and I smell them every day on the drive home.
Yeah, man.
How about that? Hey, I said yesterday, I said this yesterday because it's the God's honest truth. Until we did this show yesterday, I had never heard the words Bad Bunny in my life. Honestly, listen. Now, I don't know who this freak is, but I've listened to a little bit of his music. I'm not impressed. And then I listened to a soundbite with him yesterday. He wears dresses on stage. I don't know what his sexual preferences are. I'm not pretending to know that. But the guy said he was never going, recently said he would never perform again in the United States out of fear that ICE might target one of his concerts to arrest people. And yet the NFL made the piss poor decision to bring this freak in to the halftime show of the Super Bowl. What are they thinking about?
I have no idea where I'm going to watch the Super Bowl, but I will promise you I won't be watching that.
Not a chance.
Right.
Not a chance.
Yeah. It doesn't even mildly interest me. I don't even, like you said, who is this guy?
No, I wasn't interested last year.
I mean, he's huge for worldwide.
He's huge with cultural and worldwide, but not in America.
Not in America, that's true.
But
he must be big in America.
Bad Bunny was a bad idea. Yeah.
Bad Bunny.
Dylan Mulvaney of the NFL here. Coming up, we'll get to Todd Pyro. It is 2A Tuesday, and Congressman Mike Bost on the government Schumer shutdown at 8:08.